Welcome to Trinity Life Church Podcast Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoy listening.
Morning, everyone. How is everyone this morning? Oh, that's, yeah, good. We're going to continue with our series on the minor prophets this morning. And as we seem to caveat every week, they're not minor because they're unimportant. They're minor because the books are small. So we had Ruth sharing with us about Nahum last week. And I have the privilege of talking to you this morning about Hosea. So before I get into it, as I always do, I think it's, it's story time. I like... like doing a little bit of a story before I start. So I'm going to share with you a story this morning about an incident I had with my mother growing up. So it was during the time of my life where I was doing my work experience. I was doing some web development work experience. And at that point in my life, I was a smoker. My mum did not know I was a smoker. And she did not like the idea of me smoking. She just wasn't a fan. She'd lost family members to it and stuff, so she wasn't a fan. But, I was a... I was 16, I'm a man now, I can do what I want. I really remember, it got to lunch break at this work, and I'm coming out and I'm there with all of my kind of work colleagues, giving it the big, go on, sort of. And I really remember, and so I sort of pull out the sort of packet of cigarettes out of my pocket, light up the cigarette, and then this is the place I worked was in the middle of Peterborough City Centre, if you've ever been there. And just this cry echoed out across Peterborough City Centre. Scott! Now, I probably should preface this by the fact that my mum's Scottish and she's from Glasgow. And the more angry she gets, the more Scottish she gets. So all I heard was, get here now! I just went bright red. All my colleagues just sort of look at me and they're all starting to chuckle. And so I sort of sheepishly walk across the city centre and there's my mum in the middle just glaring at me. And understandably so, she just launches into just this tirade in the middle of the city centre. What am I doing? How can I be smoking? Blah, blah, blah. And as she's there and she's shouting at me, I had this horrible realisation. I'm standing, I'm like, it's still in my hand. And I'm kind of trying to subtly flick it away without not stopping making eye contact. Because I was like, if I look away, it could get even worse. Anyway, so this went on for a while. And then she just finished. She was like, I can't even look at you. And just walked off. And so then I kind of sheepishly had to walk back to my work colleagues like, oh, mums. Parents, ugh. So, now, as with all of my stories, it will become apparent towards the end of my preach as to why I'm talking about my mum shouting at me in the middle of Peterborough City Centre. So, as I said, I was given the privilege of sharing with Hosea this morning, and I'm going to be honest, when I first read Hosea, wasn't really quite sure what to make of it. You've got a guy who has to marry an adulterous woman. In some translations, says that she's a prostitute. Has three kids with her, which he's meant to name things like Lo Rahumna, which means not loved. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah, here's my daughter. She's called not loved. And Lo Amni, which means not my people. And then just sort of understandably goes on the rest of the book on what seems like just a huge rant about how the people he's speaking to are going to get destroyed. And I was like, Matt, why have you picked me for this one exactly? What is it about me that you felt, Scott, he's the man for this? But as I said, I was really struggling reading through this book. I was like, what do I preach on? It's a very angry book. So I did some research. And we've shown a few of these before. I came across the Bible Project, which are these kind of short YouTube videos, which kind of do these kind of brief overviews of the books and give you a bit of an explanation of them. So rather than me sort of basically plagiarizing it and trying to repackage sort of everything they said as my own, I thought it would probably be a better idea if I shared the video with you, because then that kind of puts into context the rest I wanted to speak about. So I'll skip that bit. We'll come back to that later on, the New Testament connections. So, the video. Here we go. Is So yeah, it definitely puts it in a very different light when you hear it like that. And the two bits that particularly stood out to me were the bit where it's referring to God's kind of human nature, but also the story of kind of the father raising the son and the son rebelling. Now, for those of you that were here last week when Ruth was preaching, when I kind of sort of summed up at the end, it was the same thing that was on my mind. We were talking about, you know, the loving father and kind of running to kind of your dad or your mum and kind of, you know, being there for the, sort of having their support against those that are attacking you. And, you know, having to give up the pride of trying to do stuff on your own to kind of the support of your father. So it's interesting to see that that analogy, same analogy that I spoke of last week, has come up again in this video around Hosea. And it helped me kind of see it in a different way, sort of now I'm a father myself. There's times where I have to discipline Sarai. That's my job as a dad. And normally she's not quite happy about it. And, you know, we'll have a little fallout. She won't talk to daddy and she's doing this. She'll stamp her feet and go, when I'm trying to sort of talk and resolve the issue. The thing that she doesn't understand is that it hurts me as well. I don't want to do anything that hurts my daughter. I don't want to do anything that upsets her. But I know that the thing I'm disciplining her on, whatever it may be, if I leave unchecked, will hurt her more in the long term. And so it's just the sacrifice that you have to make as a parent. You have to put your child above your own emotions and your own feelings sometimes. Sometimes you're going to be seen as the, you know, the angry bad dad, the angry bad guy in the situation. And I'm going to be frank, when I first read Hosea, that's how I saw God. I just saw it, you know, you just see the anger. You just see, you're a bit scary. And you can often see that a lot of the time in, you know, I think, when you're not expecting it, and if you're reading some of the Old Testament stuff, God can just come across as a very angry guy, which isn't necessarily sort of his nature. When I reread it from the perspective of a parent rather than the child being shouted at, you understand it on a whole new level. You understand that God's frustration is that he only wants the best for us, and we keep rebelling. You understand that he has to discipline, but he doesn't like doing it. I think it's a misconception that God kind of, when God gets angry and God sort of pours his wrath down, he's enjoying himself. He's not. He doesn't like doing it to us. And it hurts him to do so as well, which is why often you probably find he gets angry. You understand that under it all, he loves us just unconditionally. And all he wants is just to make a way to try and reconcile with us. And this is why I wanted, why I sort of specifically mentioned the children's names that Hosea had to kind of name his kids at the start. You know, not loved and not my people. And we were talking about the New Testament connection. If you can turn with me to Romans 9, 25 and 26. And it says, as he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And it will happen in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, and they will be called sons of the living God. So it's taken us all the way to the New Testament for Hosea's children to be reconciled. They've gone from being not loved to loved. They've gone from being not my people to my people. I know when Sarai and I reconcile after I've had to discipline her and she falls out with me, you know, when she just squeezes me in that tight little hug, we have this sort of phrase in our house where she says, daddy's heart's gone all melty. And that's what happened, you know, but God's the same. He just wants us to come to him, say we're sorry, and just embrace him. I know that one day Sarai will thank me for the discipline that I've instilled in her, because it's what I've done with my mum. So bringing us back to the story at the start, I came home from a work experience. Mum's there waiting for me. I'm all sheepish, but also still a bit of a teenager, so still kind of being a bit rebellious about it. I wasn't necessarily going to be the first to say sorry, but I initiated a conversation. And the thing is, Mum explained to me why she was so angry. I was just thinking it was, she was just angry at me because she caught me smoking. She doesn't like smoking. What she was actually angry about was that she'd been working extra hours and extra shifts to save up enough money for me to go on a school ski trip. So seeing me walking out and having spent my money on something like cigarettes when she was breaking her back to try and get the money together to send me on this ski trip hurt her. The sacrifices she was making, she felt, were being kind of unacknowledged. I'm really thankful that she was honest enough with me as to why she hurt me, because it just helped me, it sort of instilled in me this sort of a desire to live the same way, that kind of sacrificial living, whether it be as a father, as a husband, whatever it may be. But what made it sort of even more stark is that the fact she was doing it on her own. For those, I've shared testimonies here before. So my parents got divorced when I was 11. What I may or may not have shared was the reason for the divorce was due to my father's adultery. And this is why I think I'm picked to do Hosea. Whether Matt realized it or not, I think this is a God thing. It brings us back to him. I've seen firsthand the pain that a broken marriage due to adultery can cause. I've seen firsthand, I can imagine what it must have been like for Hosea to have been raising those three children on his own while his wife was off gallivanting and doing what she was doing. I've seen firsthand the pain that it caused my mother when my father did that to her. So I can only imagine what it must have taken for the sacrifice it must have taken for Hosea to go back to his wife, reconcile with her and take her back after all that she'd done. But just think about the message that showed his children. And I think what all of this just boils down to is that a relationship, whether it be between a husband and a wife, whether it be between a parent and a child or friends, requires sacrifice. It requires a sacrifice to reconcile. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for us to reconcile us with the Father, but relationships are reciprocal. We have to make sacrifices as well to reconcile with God. So, just bringing us on to the kind of questions, but I suppose the first one is just, what is it exactly we have to sacrifice? And I think first and foremost, it's again a running theme. It's pride. We have it takes a large amount of swallowing your pride to say, I'm sorry, and to say, I need to change something here, and to try and reconcile with someone, that kind of reciprocal relationship. So going through our questions just to kind of sum up. So do we see God's judgment as correction towards me, as punishment or discipline? Say, God doesn't enjoy disciplining us, but it has to happen. So we need to understand that. Do I receive God's correction in the gracious balance it is given and quickly turn in repentance to see his face? Are we willing to make that sacrifice and swallow our pride, say sorry, and to run back and give him that hug and make his heart go all melty? Am I an agent for positive change in culture, or am I being influenced negatively by a culture that does not know God? Are we looking at a world where adultery is fine, where, you know, we don't try and reconcile relationships because that involves swallowing your pride, it involves saying sorry, it involves making some sacrifices yourself? Or are we demonstrating to the world that actually that sacrificial nature is the way that the world's going to move forward and the way that it's going to be reconciled with God?